guy could try to throw. Oh, that's a magnificent goal. A sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gijp.
We had the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Ben's in trouble, left knee kick. The super sub has done it again. And Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lucas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though. Still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously, being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To a good deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park, twisting, shouting, shaking!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. With only 5 days to the new season, myself and Jay are joined tonight by Motherwell General Manager Alan Burrows. Alan, welcome along, mate.
Thanks for having us again, guys. Second time, not quite hat-trick ball yet, but getting close.
Closing in. Well, Alan, I think it's possibly fair to say it's your first full summer in your role as General Manager at Motherwell. After the kind of baptism of fire last season, how has the summer differed from last season?
I think calling it the first full one's probably quite accurate, because obviously, if you remember last year, I didn't really properly start in the role until the 1st of June. And to be quite honest with you, you know, when you're doing your work in the summer, a lot of that work starts maybe March or April time. And when it comes to June and July, you're just seeing plans through to the end or executing some of the things that you've been working on for the past couple of months. So you're right, last year was, or last summer certainly was, a baptism of fire. It was quite difficult. It was very all rushed a little bit, I think it's probably fair to say. But this year, I feel certainly a lot better about it. I think it certainly feels to me a bit more organised, a bit more structured, and you know, I'm looking forward to the new season.
After a fairly busy winter transfer window, the summer window's been the exact same, to be fair, Alan. I think it's seven new faces already. Yep. More to come, you would expect too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Ian Barraclough's been quite vocal about that. I think he's still looking for two more players. I think he's even been quite specific about the positions he's looking for, and that would be a goalkeeper and a centre midfielder. So there's certainly no ambiguity there. I think that it's been quite clear what he wants to do. Yeah, the signings have been good, I think. I think quite positive. I think people, like you say, have been laughing it up. I think there's been a bit of excitement building on. I think that probably comes from the way the season finished. Obviously, nobody wanted to be in the playoffs. Nobody wanted to be there at all, actually. But when we got there and we embraced it in the way we did, In the manner of the victory, I remember listening to your podcast a couple of days afterwards, after your pub podcast, I think that summed up quite a lot where a lot of people were over those few days after that game. But I think what we managed to do is capitalise a little bit on that positive feeling that came out of that game. Yes, it was an extremely disappointing season for everybody at the football club, there's no doubt about that. But in a sense, I think we managed to, look, I wouldn't say turn that around, because it's impossible to turn around such a disappointing season by just one or two games, but I think it's certainly put everybody into the summer in a much more positive frame of mind, both at the club and I think generally within the supporter base. And what we've tried to do, we always knew there was going to be a big turnover of staff, both with the amount of short-term signings the club made in January, but also the amount of players running towards the end of their contract. So it was always going to be a busy one, but you know, fresh faces sometimes brings fresh opportunities. You know, if there was anything, you know, I was looking back and I was evaluating how things went last summer. And actually, I think one of the mantras that we tried to preach last summer was to try and keep everything the same. To you know, obviously Leanne had left, but and that was really the only change at the club, if you think, because we'd kept the majority of the squad together, really. So, you know, Henny Annie had left, but Oyama come in. So, you know, in terms of actual on the pitch, there wasn't much in the way of change. But actually, I suppose some things, they say the most successful people in the world always change when they're up. You know, if you think of Sir Alex Ferguson at Manchester United, I think he constantly made a habit of, when his teams were doing really well, he would change the system or bring a couple more players in, or, you know, move on one of the bigger earners or the high names just to try and keep everything fresh. And maybe, I know it's easy to say with hindsight, but maybe we didn't do enough of that last summer, maybe in an attempt to try and keep everyone the same, that actually maybe didn't help over it on the grand scheme of things. But certainly you couldn't say the same about this summer. It's been, it's been well documented, 15, 16 players left in inverted commas, because obviously a few of them, i.e. Scott McDonald and Louis Lyon, came back, and obviously Lionel Ainsworth has renewed his contract too. So there's been a summer of lots of changes, both on and off the park. I listened to the podcast last week, and you guys were talking obviously about, Stephen Craigan coming back in, and Jim Holman coming in as well, a new look management team as well. So, there's big positives, I think, for everybody at the club. Not just the amount of players we're bringing, but I think you'll all agree that the type of players, it's a bit young, it's about guys to develop, guys to trade on. There's a plan in place there. It's not just I heard a good point from Jay last week, actually, when he's talking about it. Maybe it felt to people that it was quite season to season to Motherwell, that, you got to the end of one season, planned for the next, done it, got to the end of that season, and so on and so forth. But this, I think you can actually see now under Les Hutchison, the owner, the new board of directors are in place, the fresh impetus that we've got here at the football club, that there is actually a 5-year business plan, there is, a real structure now to the football club, there is a division to take forward there, and a big part of that is player sales and trading on, and I think that's been reflected in the type of players coming in. So it's been, it's been an exciting summer. Obviously the friendlies, I think, were far better for the team this year as well. Hopefully that'll transpire into the season as well. So yeah, it's been busy, but it's also been fun and exciting.
Flo, just to go back to when you were saying about the feel-good factor, of course that is a big thing for the fans, and by the sounds of it, it's quite big at the club as well. I was thinking about that earlier, the idea that, obviously in the run-up to the last few games of the season, we would have wanted to have finished 9th or 10th, and yet if we had and we'd avoided relegation, there probably wouldn't have been this great feel-good factor, because it's off the back of those two games, against Rangers. So getting into this new season, do you think that's like a blessing in disguise almost, the fact that you can actually go through this summer and go into the new season with a lot more excitement, a lot more enthusiasm, and that kind of feel-good factor that's came out of winning the playoffs, when in reality we would have been obviously much safer to have finished 9th or 10th, but we wouldn't have been getting in with the same positivity?
No, you're absolutely bang on the mark. It's an interesting point you make. I think have any of them probably sat around the table maybe end of April when we're fighting the teams and said to you can either stay up in 10th or 9th, or you can go into the playoffs and beat Rangers 6-1. I think probably most people would have taken playoffs and beat Rangers 6-1. It's almost akin to if you think of the Championship in League 1 and League 2 in England, where they always say if you're going to get promoted, the best way to do it is through the playoffs at Wembley. It's maybe not quite the same when you're fighting for your skin up here in Scotland and trying to avoid going down. But no, I take your point 100%. I think the feel-good factor that came from those two games, I think the things that went on in the lead-up to that game, I think if you think of how Ian Barraclough, I thought handled himself particularly well. He was very calm throughout, even during the games. I thought, his calmness and measuredness was, really there for all to see as well. So I think all these wee things, I think, kicked in together, like you said. And we've managed to, I think, build on that throughout the summer. That Rangers game was really the catalyst for it. But I suppose, the proof of the pudding is always going to be in the eating. And it's okay to be positive through the summer, and it's okay for us all to be feeling good about it. But that needs to translate, I suppose, into an improved season on the park. And that's what we're all working towards. As you know, the SPFL have dealt us what I suppose you could say is a difficult start. I know we need to play all the teams at one point or another, but the run of the games we've got over the first 4 or 5 is difficult. I think it's most of the top 6 from last year. But, what I said to Ian Barraclough when the fixtures come out, if you flip that on its head and we get the first 4 or 5 games in, the summer positivity is translated into the start of the season. You're 4 or 5 games in, then you've done well. And then you start up against maybe the 4 or 5 teams who, with all due respect and not meant as any disrespect to them, are teams at the start of the season where if you're aiming to get to a certain point, you've got to be looking to be beaten the teams who you would expect to be in and around you. If you can get to that point and you've got a number of points on the board, then you could be sitting quite good coming the end of August, start of September, So, plenty to be positive about. But your point, Jay, is absolutely bang on. the catalyst for that was absolutely the emphatic victory over Rangers, which was absolutely magnificent for everybody who holds Motherwell close to their heart.
See, when we're talking about the playoff, the week leading up to it was an emotional one for fans. It was, you didn't know whether to be absolutely terrified, to be slightly optimistic. For yourself, there was obviously the whole fiasco with allocations initially, and then the press were, or it felt like the press were particularly negative towards Motherwell's chances of remaining in the Scottish Premiership. How did you manage to kind of take a step back and remain professional while all the madness was going on? Because it really was one of the most intense weeks I think I've ever had as a football supporter. It was that important, and it really felt like that every day. We counted down to the Thursday. The gap between the Thursday and the Sunday was just horrendous. It was so strange. And obviously, as you were talking about earlier, the feeling of relief when it was all over and we came out the victors was like nothing else.
I think you're right. I think relief's probably the best one for Andy. I don't think Andy was particularly celebrating because they were delighted to be in that position. It was just more, because you say there was a lot of pressure leading up to the game. There was a lot of scrutiny put on the club, I think, both in terms of the expectations put on Rangers to win the game and obviously reunite Rangers in the top flight, you know, and all that goes with that. So, yeah, I think Ian Barraclough said that quite publicly, that maybe not amongst the rank and file of Scottish football supporters of the other 41 clubs who would want it, but I certainly think there was a feeling within the media that it would be better. In fact, I remember Mark Greedy, who's a good friend of mine, I think it was on Radio Clyde, saying that in his industry as a journalist, you know, it's in his best interest and in Scottish football's best interests for Rangers to be in the top flight. But to be fair, I think to Ian Barraclough and the squad, and particularly the coaching staff, I think they used a lot of that. They had their analysts dig out every single bit of audio, every bit of newspaper clippings, everything, to try and create that little bit of a siege mentality. And, you know, he talked about that in the press conference before the game. I don't know if you managed to catch it, but he was certainly trying to use that as a weapon, that he felt that the feeling was that people didn't want Mullow to win or wanted Mullow to go down. And you know, that was certainly added to the pressure for people like myself and the supporters, I suppose, but it made the relief even better come this Sunday. But in terms of the lead up to the game, yeah, from my own personal point of view, it was difficult, there's no doubt about it. I don't think I've quite as ever been in the spotlight as much as I was that week. But to be fair, I was the catalyst for the board. You know, we discussed it at length with all the stakeholders within the board, and we decided, and I've been open and honest with people, both on social media, when anybody spoke to me in person or on the phone, that all without wanting to go over all ground, but whilst I've got the opportunity, I suppose I will talk, without going over all ground, all I wanted for Motherwell was a fair deal for our supporters. I didn't think that asking for 2,000 tickets for Ibrox was unfair. I think Rangers had accommodated other clubs, notably Hearts, in the recent past leading up to that game with 2,000 fans. I thought, given that they priced it at £5, that I thought the demand would be there for 2,000 fans, regardless of what we had taken in previous games. And if you take the playoffs, or certainly the league, consider the playoffs as not a part of the league fixture, ergo it's almost like a cup or a cup final, a two-legged affair, then I felt it should be treated like that, and normal allocations really had to be reviewed. We hummed and hawed for quite a few days, it has to be said, and that's probably why it led right into to the later part of the Monday, when the lead up to the game, which is way longer than I would want it to have been, but that's just where it was. And, you know, it come to the part where I felt the Rangers had given us the 2,000 tickets, then we were obliged to give them the full South Stand, which we would have been fairly prepared to do. I think I could have come out on this channel or other channels and said to people that, you know, Rangers have been fair enough to double what was our normal allocation of 1,000 to 2,000, which is still only 3% of Ibrox, but still, I think it was, as a gesture, it would have been, you know, I think most people would have accepted that in good faith. Therefore, Motherwell would have given Rangers the full 4,800, which I think represents about 35-40% of our park, roughly around about that. So I thought that would have been fair. Unfortunately, that's not the way it's seen. I think what we're trying to do now at SPFL level, which again has been a matter of public, is that we're trying to put some things in place if we can to avoid that situation ever happening in the future, and there'll be things trying to mimic, for example, some of the rules they have around cups, around away attendances and pricing, etc., that will just take a lot of this ambiguity out and a lot of this argument, so things can be made a lot clearer from the very beginning. and people will know where they stand, which I think is probably the best for everybody concerned, because actually good news and bad news is easy to deal with. It's not known is the problem, and what we didn't know in the summer was, or certainly in the lead up to that game, is how many tickets we were going to get, when we were going to get them, etc. So I think if anything that's good to come out of all that is that we'll probably have some more clarity, and hopefully we won't be involved in it and won't have to deal with it. But for whatever club it ends up in that situation, then it should make the whole process much simpler.
Were you encouraged by the amount of Motherwell fans that did get out though for the playoff second leg and got behind the team, because it was a very hostile, intimidating, whether it was intimidating for the Rangers players I don't know, but it was certainly a very vocal support, and they got right behind the team from the first whistle, something that perhaps hadn't happened in occasions over the course of the season.
No, I take your point, Andy, and I think I also felt, and it was one of the first times ever, I've been going to Motherwell games as long as you guys have, it was one of the first Old Firm games, in inverted commas, at Fir Park, that I can remember, where I actually did have a different atmosphere to it. That normally when you go to a Rangers or Celtic game, when they come to Fir Park, you know, there's a really large away following. I think that has a big impact on the game, how it goes. I think of the acoustics of the South Stand, and even to a certain extent, the overspills from the Phil O'Donnell Stand, I think it almost makes it, it certainly makes it more difficult to deal with. But I think, given that, as I said to you before, that game there was different from a normal league game, was like a cup final, I think it was incumbent upon us to try and get the best deal for our fans. As a net result of that, I think you're right, the atmosphere was very different. It was very pro-Mullow, very positive. I think obviously a lot of that probably kicked off from the fact that we'd won and won so convincingly on the Thursday previous. So I think people got into the game in a good mood. I think I was incredibly nervous, to be quite honest with you. I think I'd probably rather win it in the game with enough of each or a one each or something. I think that would have made me probably more calm than I actually was. And I mean that in all truthfulness, because, you know, I think I thought to myself in the lead up to that game, and I know you shouldn't be negative, but you think to yourself, if you blow it from this position, it'll feel 100 times worse than it had been a draw, and we'd make a 1-0 victory or we'd be defeat or whatever. But no, I think a hugely encouraged by the amount of people that come out to Fir Park. I think it demonstrates that the people of this area, Lanarkshire and beyond, really have a passion for their football club, really want to see the football club succeed. It's just about getting them in the right situation, the right scenario, and people turn out. And that's the people that hopefully, we're never going to convert them all. I think it's unrealistic for us to say we're going to get 7,000 or 8,000 home supporters. It's just not going to happen. But there is a drive within the business plan that I mentioned earlier from the owners and the directors about trying to increase our support modestly in the first couple of years, and then maybe a bit more modestly again. But there is a realisation, obviously, that we're not going to get to 10,000 home fans or 9 or 8 or even anything like that. But I think there's an opportunity to try, if we can, to try and convert these people, or convert the guys who maybe don't go too often, to come a bit more often. And I think games like that and situations like that and scenarios like that will certainly help.
Just to bring things back a wee bit more to the preparations for the new season.
Sure.
You were saying earlier about the new guys coming in. There's a lot of transfer activity around the club. Obviously, the new management staff as well. How well do you think everybody is settling in? You know, including Craig and the new goalkeeping coach as well as the new players. Is there a sense that everybody's settling in well? And also, how beneficial is it, the fact that although everybody wants to be in Europe, does the pre-season friendlies and having that kind of, you know, not an early start, having to go to Iceland, etc., does that, how much of an impact do you think that plays with certain players?
Massively. I'll take that in the two parts. Yes, I think in terms of the integration of the squad, I think absolutely it's been really good. Obviously, we've got senior pros at the club are so important. You know, you don't realise that until you actually get truly into the nuts and bolts of a football club, but just how influential and how important, you know, the senior guys. I think they set the mood and the tone for the dressing room. I think the onus is on them. The impetus is on them, as I said, to really help the guys settle and really make them feel a part of it. And with guys like Keith Lasley, Stephen Hamill, Stephen Pearson, Stephen McManus, you know, really fantastic pros, great guys, also really respectful and really helpful to the guys to come in and really make them feel a part of it. Obviously, you know, a lot of our recruitment has been guys from south of the border. You think of Wes Fletcher, you think of Louis Moll, guys like that, they've come in. There are, you know, a lot of English guys in the squad already, so I think that sometimes helps as well. There are people from your area, people you're a bit more familiar with, so your familiar accents, if you you like. So that certainly helped in the process, without doubt. In terms of the coaching staff, obviously Stephen Craigan was well known to everybody at Fir Park. I think he probably knows more people at Fir Park than probably Ian Baragroff and Stephen Robinson, that they've been here that long. But you know, he's come in and settled in right away. He was away last week at the Foyle Cup with under-20s. So that probably helped him bond with the under-20s players, which is great. You know, he got to come in and straight away, you know, he gets to go and train during the day and play games at night. So that was fantastic for him. And Jim Holman has been absolutely brilliant since he came in as well. He's a real, you know, larger-than-life character, really great guy, but also an absolutely superb and well-respected coach as well. You know, really excited to see some of the stuff that Jim can produce for us. You know, he's got really smart ideas. I don't know if you've seen or read much about Jim, but he actually owns his own business as well. A company called Pro Deflect, and he actually came up with a device that helps, you know, mimic deflections. So he's a really clever guy, you know, really, you know, forward thinking and really modern coach. You know, I think the goalkeepers, Dan, and you know, the younger goalies and whoever manages to come in will probably will really benefit, I hope, from his expertise. As I said, he's worked at a really high level with Cardiff and Norwich and Ipswich and worked with some really good coaches as well. So we're hoping to see the benefits of him. And obviously Stephen Craigan, I think it's easy to get lost in the emotion of Stephen Craigan coming back, because I think every Motherwell fan loves him to bits. But actually, fundamentally, Stephen Craigan's a very well-respected coach. He's doing his, you know, and that's what's the most important thing. You know, he's doing his pro licence. You know, he's winning a lot of admirers in the Northern Irish FA, or was, with his coaching and his ability to take sessions and work with young players. And that's what attracted us. More than the fact that Stephen Craigan was a legend and we know was hugely respected at the football club, is actually his ability to coach and manage young players, integrate them with the first team, work with Stephen Robinson and Ian Baragroff to try and work through the vision that the club have for the type of player that's producing, the type of player that we're trying to recruit, but also as well tap into his knowledge, his encyclopedic knowledge of Scottish football as well, because, you know, Stephen has watched a lot of football over the last 2 or 3 years in Scotland. You know, not only knows a lot about the under-20 system because he watches games on a Tuesday, but also about first teams to help Stephen and Ian as well. So I think he comes with plenty of strengths to his bow, which will, I would imagine, hopefully certainly help our chances this year. In terms of I'm trying to think of the second part, the European element to it. It's been strange. I think this is only the second year of eight that we've not been in European competition. It was really bizarre, I think. I don't know how you guys felt, but it was really bizarre to be at the European draw day and us not to be in it. And you know, that usually for it's about 2 or 3 days usually, isn't it, after the SPFL fixtures come out, the European draw comes and we're being sent off to somewhere far flung within Europe. But this year was a little bit different, sadly. Not been involved. Don't get me wrong, you're right, Jay, it has given us a little bit more time to prepare. You know, Ian had, I think it was 12 or 13 days in before the players actually went away. I think it was 10 days before the players actually, between the first came in and they went away to the trip to Holland. I think that was very deliberate from his point of view. He wanted a lot of the fitness-based work to happen here and then go over to Holland and try and test himself with games, which again is a different tactic to what we've normally been used to under Stuart McCall. You remember that, you know, trips to Portugal and Spain have been more about training sessions, I suppose, rather than actual games. But obviously been in the Netherlands and managing to play a club like Bruce and Gladbach, albeit they're under-23s. And Herenveen was a fantastic kick-off to pre-season. And I feel with that, and if you include Bradford and Preston, and also a competitive game against Livingston, I think it's been a much better, much more organised, I feel better about it. I think last year was a little bit harem scarem because of obviously, the European thing right in the middle of pre-season made it very difficult to arrange anything after that. I feel certainly better prepared personally, and hopefully the team are, and that's reflected in how we start the season.
Another element that's really impressed me is the returning players, if you like, Lionel Ainsworth and Scott McDonald both signing up after initially leaving for a short while. Marvin Johnson signing a new contract, he really excited the supporters in the back end of last season.
Yeah.
How much of an influence has Ian Baragroff been on these guys returning to Fir Park?
Yeah, I think you'll have heard all the players mentioned there talk about Ian in that sense. I think they enjoy working with him. I think they enjoy his coaching sessions. I think they enjoy his mannerisms. I think Ian, after a difficult spell when he first came in, has really, really grew into the role. And as I said to you before, guys, obviously the proof of the pudding is going to be in the eating. You know, I can give you all the positive sound bites in the world here about how good a guy he is and how good a job I think he's doing. But, you know, the league table and the performances here will be the ultimate acid test, I suppose. But no, he definitely played a big part, I think, in those players. Particularly McDonald. I think, you know, Scott's the type of character that other managers have, I think you've been making me say this, other managers have had some fun with in the previous, but I think he really gets the best out of him. He's just the type of character that he is. As I said to you earlier, a very patient guy, very considered, very doesn't get overexcited when we win, doesn't get too down and deflated when we get beat. And I think that's a very important characteristic to have as a coach, and I think players respond to that as well. You know, if you get somebody who's level and doesn't go too up or down. If you look at Ian's past, you know, in terms of his experiences at Sligo, you know, he wins the league, he wins the two of the major cups in Ireland. And I think if you think of cup competitions and the ability to actually hold, and I suppose the playoffs come into this as well, but the ability to keep your cool and keep your calm, I think that actually rubs you onto players. And I think I'm hoping that's something that we see that's been different. You know, Stuart McCall, as much as I loved him as a guy, and he's done an absolutely magnificent job as Motherwell manager, you know, take out the last couple of three or four months, but, you know, if you take it the collective of the 4 years or 4.5 years that Stuart was in charge of Motherwell or whatever, it was a fantastic one, but he would be the first to admit he was a very emotive character. He was very up and down, he was very animated. So it'll be interesting to see, because Ian's very different to that, so it'll be interesting to see just how that translates in the future in terms of results and performances, particularly around cup competitions. But, you know, in terms of the players, to answer your question, you know, Ian played a big part, but, you know, you mentioned there, for example, the ability on Marvin Johnson. I think there's also credit that has to be paid to the board, to Les, the football committee that now exists within the football club, that actually want to try and protect their investments. You've heard Les talking on this very podcast about the ability to try and make sure that the assets that the football club have are protected, that we try and maximise the sale value. And that's what we've been trying to do. We've tried to do it in the past before, but, you know, since the owners come in, it's allowed us to give a little bit more focus into these areas to try and make sure that if Marvin Johnston or others do happen to go, because you think of obviously Dom Thomas has got a 3-year deal, Luke Watt's got a 3-year deal, Marvin Johnston's got a 3-year deal. You know, there's elements in there that, you know, that are protectors, the guys who we think we can trade on at one point or another. And we don't make any bones about saying that, admitting that. That's the type of club that we are. That's the type of club we're going to try and be. These guys, we get what we think we're due, because one of the frustrations, I'm sure you guys, and I know because I've spoken to both of you about it before, but one of the frustrations that all Motherwell fans, I think, have had is that in the past, we haven't been able to fully maximise our potential within the transfer market. And I think since the changes that have been made at the club since maybe December, January of this year, I think what we've seen is that the club have actually managed to cement their position around the key assets and trying our best to make sure that if the players do come to a sale, that actually the sale is in our terms and not other people's terms, and we don't end up with a situation like Jamie Murphy or Mark Reynolds or Jim O'Brien or Ross McCormack, where the guys, if you go and leave and the club don't get properly compensated to the value that they should have had. So that's certainly the objective that I'm working to, or direction from the board. And hopefully that pays off, and if it comes to the point where a team wants to take one of our assets away, then we're in a position to negotiate a strong position.
I've got to say, I reckon out of all the business we've done this season, I genuinely believe that the Marvin Johnson signing an extended contract will end up being the best bit of business we've done this summer. But just in terms of Scott McDonald, how obviously it dragged on a little bit. There was, you know, talk of him moving abroad for, I think Chinese team was linked to him and all that kind of thing. How close, I mean, was there any point during the summer that the club started turning its attention away from him, or were you always quietly confident that he was going to end up signing?
I think we were always hopeful and quietly confident. Yeah, I think probably both those adjectives probably describe it. Yeah, I think we I talked a lot to Scott over the summer as a dean. I think Scott mentioned in his press conference there were one or two little family issues he had that slowed the whole process down. I would imagine he would have probably signed maybe a week or so previous to what he did had it not been for them. But yeah, I think that but it would also be remiss of me not to say, because as I said, as a matter of public record, there was offers for the player. He did have offers from various continents, some of them more lucrative than others. And, you know, it was, I think what we tried to play on here was the fact that, you know, he was well respected, that he has found a club, that he has a niche, that he likes being here, he likes the opportunity to play in front of a support who appreciate him. I think he plays with a manager who can manage him well. He has asked, you know, I think he also quite likes he gets quite a fair bit of media work up here as well. He's a big fish in a small pond, if you like to use that analogy. So there was plenty of positives about coming back to Scotland. You know, not only that as well, but we mentioned the senior players earlier on as well. He's very friendly with like Steve McManus and a few others. So there was plenty of good things to be selling to Scott over the period. Obviously, some other clubs have other things to sell that we don't, which is obvious. But I'm particularly pleased that we managed to get Scott back. I thought he, if you look at Motherwell's form, Steve Robinson and Scott McDonald almost arrived at the same time. It was that kind of mid-February point. And if you actually look at the form up until then and the form after then, I'm not saying they were solely responsible, but I think their two additions were really key to turning the season around a bit for us. That, you know, Stephen was a good influence in the dressing room. Scott was a great influence on the park. You know, I think those two things combined really helped. So to have both of them here from the start of the season, for me, it's really exciting, and hopefully we see the benefits of it, you know, right throughout. And obviously, as I said, and Ian's Barraclough said actually on the club statement, if you remember reading it, if you think of what Scott did, and I'm not taking away anything from Lee Irwin here by any matter of means, but if you think of what Scott's contribution to Lee Irwin's development, if you have got Wes Fletcher in there who's in his early 20s, if you've got Louis Moll in there who's in his early 20s, and you can have somebody like Scott McDonald play alongside one of these guys and help them in development. Obviously, Fletcher and Malt are very much in the category of guys, given that we've brought them in at that age group, who we're hoping to they'll develop on and the club can trade on in future points. So if McDonald can be a catalyst for helping develop the player, helping, you know, increase his game, make him a better, already more rounded individual, then that all benefit to Motherwell Football Club, plus what you're also obviously going to get from him on the park in terms of goals and contribution, even if it means from midfield where he played against Rangers or further up front, you know, in attack. So, no, I'm particularly delighted with McDonald to come in. As I said, I listen to you guys every week, and it's funny because you get the kind of Willie Wonty with McDonald you see on Twitter as well, and you become, as you said, a little bit of a I wouldn't say saga, but certainly dragged on a bit longer than we hoped. But, you know, when he finally told me he was going to come up and fly over to Ireland to join the guys in Sligo, you know, it was a big relief that we managed to get him in, because, you know, in fact, an interesting story on that, Ian Barraclough met an opposition manager on holiday, and the first question he actually asked him was, are you keeping McDonald? And I thought that was quite interesting. I thought it was quite relevant, because it actually just proves to me and to others that actually he is the threat, he is the one that the guys will worry about. You know, you mentioned Johnston earlier on. Him and McDonald in the same team, I think, together could be really, really interesting over the course. You know, I think they proved it last year, you know, worked together, got the balls out of the area. You know, we managed to feed off that, you know, in numerous times. So I think McDonald and Johnston together will be the type of guys, along with Ainsworth, because you know what Lionel's going to give you. He's going to give you assists, he's going to goals. Yeah, he'll frustrate you. Of course, he'll frustrate you. Winger Chris Humphreys, he'll frustrate. You know, Lionel will frustrate. Martin, to a certain extent, will frustrate. Omar Bailey frustrated. You know, the nature of the type of player that is, you're going to get frustration. But, you know, Lionel Ainsworth, 20 goals and 20 assists in two seasons is quite unbelievable, to be quite honest. So, you know, if you think of an attacking line, I think we'll be plenty of options. And also, one of the two guys I've neglected to mention, obviously, Stephen Pearson, I thought was magnificent last season. Absolutely brilliant. And I think, if you think of the contribution that Stephen Pearson made when he came in January, remember he got the injury for a couple of weeks, and then he came back in February. And I think if you think that February with Stephen Robinson, Stephen Pearson, Scott McDonald, all those guys together really helped us kick on. And yeah, there were a couple of low points in the way in Partick Thistle, but, you know, generally, I think everybody would agree that the last couple of months of the season were a lot better. McDonald, Pearson, Johnson, Ainsworth, et al. were really big players in that. And so I'm really excited to see how they'll be after a pre-season together. Hopefully much fitter and stronger, and then get into this new season coming up.
that's been another encouraging part of the pre-season games, the amount of young players that have been getting an opportunity. Just thinking of guys like Dom Thomas, Luke Watt, yep. Craig Moore, yep. Jack Leach, Ross McLean, all yep. getting a good bit of game time. Yep. It seems that youth is very much going to be given a chance under Ian Barraclough.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, sorry to hop back to it, Jay, I keep giving you credit, but I remember you talking about it last week, that I'm not going to criticise Stuart McCall by any matter of means, because I think that, and Stuart would rightly turn around and name the amount of young players he gave his debut to. What the club's focus on, and not Stuart McCall, but one of the club's focus is, as well as trading players, as we talked about earlier on, was really making sure the academy works and really making sure the guys who come up through the academy are chapping on the manager's door and saying, I'm good enough to play in your team, I want to be in there, and actually showing that on the training park for them, their 20s, and then again the first team and they do it. That's hugely important for the football club. You know, if you talk about trading players on, it's much harder to really find players from elsewhere, bring them in, develop them and sell them, than it is actually to bring them through your academy, because they're right there, they're on your doorstep, you can mold them as you want. So, you know, a huge part of the strategy is to make sure the academy works, to make sure they don't bottleneck. They need to be good enough when they get to the first team, and that's got to be the key point. If they're not good enough, they can't play just because they're young. But these guys also, a lot of times, there's that sink and swim mentality. Maybe the best example to give is maybe Mark Reynolds, who I think of the youth coaches probably at the time, maybe a lot of them didn't expect Mark to come in and sail the way he did. And if I remember that season, he first came in, I think he was behind Bobby Donnelly, I think, if you remember. I think we played Rangers and Air United the first two games of the season, and then Bobby got injured. And Mark went in, I think Mark was playing left back, and went to centre back, and I think he ended up playing the next 250 games in a row. And it just goes to show sometimes that young players just need a chance, need to get in the right to get in that slot, and they can really develop. And obviously, Mark's wanting to have a really good career, so there might be an opportunity like that. But you know, you're right. Thomas has been in there, done really well. I know Joe Chalmers hasn't come through the academy, but he's another young one that's come in, and I thought has done particularly well during pre-season. You know, Luke Watt, you know, we talked about him earlier with his contract. Tom Thomas as well. Unfortunately, young Ross McLean's picked up a metatarsal injury, so that's going to make him struggle for the next month or so. But you know, he was certainly very much in the reckoning. But there's also others. There's really some exciting talent coming through the 20s. You know, I think there's some real one or two players that have got a real chance. Yeah, Stephen McManus and Keith Lasley help out with the academy. It's a part of their e-licence that they've been doing over, or their youth licence they've been doing over the last couple of years, and you know, they're certainly very positive about some of the under-17s who have just been promoted up into the first team pool as well. So I think there's a lot to be excited about there as well. But as well as I mentioned earlier, as much as about trading players, getting guys in, you making sure the new scouting system works to identify this talent, we've also got to be absolutely on the ball when it comes to our academy, making sure that Lanarkshire, the amount of players that we produce, that they're at this football club, they're developing, they're given a showcase to perform, and if they do it, they can take the chance, and hopefully we can get the benefit from it. But that's the two-pronged approach we've got to at the moment in time. And you know, I think with Stephen Craigan coming in as well, that'll help give that a little boost in terms of the middle point between the academy and the first team as well. So hugely positive signs there as well. And you know, hopefully this is a season where one of those young guys, maybe Dom or Luke or whoever it might be, is going to really take up the mantle and become a real first team player.
Can I just ask, in terms of the scouting system that you mentioned there, yeah. Is the, obviously with Ian Barraclough being from down south, and a lot of the players coming in being, you know, Wes Fletcher, Lou Moult, etc., being yeah. English players, is there scope or is there recognition that we've not really done enough in terms of lower leagues in Scotland? You look at so many other teams in Scotland seem to really do well at bringing in, you know, you look at your Andy Robertsons, yeah. in particular Dundee United, Andy Robertson, Gary Mackay, Stephen, etc., and that's yeah. always a market we've really, really missed out on. Is there more, you know, attempts now to keep tabs on that?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. It's been a frustration of mine as well, particularly as some of the names you mentioned there actually came across our radar at one point in the next, and the fact that they never executed it, I think, makes it frustrating for everybody. And I think it highlighted the need when the new owner came in, that was an area that we were lacking in, and it was an area that we really needed attention to. So yeah, I'm pleased to say that, you know, as much as our head of recruitment, albeit the position vacant, but position quite soon to be filled, hopefully, will is based in England. There is a part-time, if you like, Scottish head scout who is primarily, or in fact not primarily, but is exclusively based to do lower league Scottish games. So he'll take in, you know, anything from Championship, League One, League Two, We also have a scout who works with analyst Ross Clarkson, who is working primarily with, in fact, exclusively again with the Premiership clubs. He does a lot of the match scouting as well. So we pick up, we've got all four divisions in Scotland covered every single weekend and games during the week, midweek. They'll report back into, I think we've been quite public about this, but we, you know, they'll report back into a bit of a software called Scout 7, which is really, really a kind of almost like a high tech flagging system where scouts put in reports and they tag names of players, and when those names are flag up, then it, you know, really alerts the managing team, the scouting staff, the analysis staff to really do some kind of further developing on those players. But, you know, absolutely, there was one part-time presence within the Scottish League, or leagues. There is one within the Scottish Premiership and numerous down south. And the hope is, I think the aim is that as this department that we've created, which never existed up until February of this year, you know, as this department increases and hopefully we see the fruits of its labour, the idea, I think, is to try and reinvest some of that back into it and hope grow and expand it, so it becomes self-fulfilling at that point. That if you get a Marvin Johnston, which was basically, Marvin came directly from this system, Gary Owers, who was the previous head of recruitment, scouted and recommended and effectively executed the signing of Marvin Johnston. You know, if that comes off or others like it can come off, then if some of that can be reinvested to expand and expand and expand and get bigger, then the hope is that, you know, you cover more areas, you see more players, your net of influence becomes wider, and the theory should be hopefully then that you've got a better chance of attracting another Marvin Johnston or another player or another Andy Robertson, as you mentioned earlier with Dundee United. So that's the idea and that's the scope behind it. There's a plan in place to, we've got a good foundation there, be covering Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland as well. So there's a scope there. Once that's, you know, once we really start seeing the fruits of those labours, we walk then we start to run and then build it up and build it up and build it up. But no, there is absolutely, to answer your question, there is a scout who covers the three divisions in Scotland, and it's very much for us to be looking to make sure that we maximise, because, you know, you mentioned United and others, but you can go through the likes of Falkirk, the players that they've sold, McGrandall, you go to Livingston, the players that they've sold to Sheffield United. You know, there are absolutely numerous examples of lower league clubs. I mean, think of Mackay Steam running down United, who's on our doorstep at Airdrie. You know, there are plenty of examples of lower league teams having really good talents, and we shouldn't be missing them. So when there will be somebody on the ball, I'm much more hopeful that if there is somebody there, then we can certainly be in the mix should that player become available.
Do you feel that that's something that adds to the excitement of the whole process, that perhaps the squad isn't the finished article by any matter of means, but the squad will develop young, raw talents, and it should be very exciting to watch? It's almost kind of, I don't really want to mention the particular season as we finished bottom of the league, but the kind of 2002-2003 season where young players were really stepping up and they made a real mark and went on to, certain individuals went on to really big things.
Yeah, a wee bit of that, and maybe a wee bit of the 2009-10 season, where if you remember when Jim Gannon came in during the summer and there was a lot of players coming in from England, they're all a very kind of similar age group to what we're recruiting now. You know, a lot of these guys, they think of Jennings and Humphrey, Coke, Ruddy, Jukovic. You know, if you think of what those guys have been on to achieve in their career, it's been phenomenal. And then you also think of the guys that come in and really played a bigger part. So Jamie Murphy came in and was more of a regular. Sean Hutchison came in and was more of a regular. You know, so, you know, I see elements of 2002-03, like you say. Also, you see elements of 2009-10. And we kind of get half the success as about some of those names that we've mentioned. Obviously, you think of 2002-03, you think of Pearson, Clarkson, Hamill, McFadden. Funny enough, most of them still here. you know, who've actually call them Team 2004 when they're sitting at lunch, but they actually, when if you think of that team plus the Gannon team, I think I can see a little bit of mixers in both. And yeah, I think you're right, Andy. I think that there'll be a lot of rawness to it, but I think sometimes rawness brings excitement. I think it brings up kind of unexpected. one of the things I've really seen in pre-season myself, just as a supporter, if you think about it like that, I know you guys are not big on pre-season games, and that's understandable, but one of the things I've seen the team progress over the games. I've seen them get better, which is encouraging. And actually, albeit the game ended in defeat against Preston, I actually thought the game against Preston Mullow played really well. You know, some of the one-touch passing was fantastic. Some of the quick, decisive counter-attacking was really, really good to watch. You know, and really at times caught Preston, who, let's not forget, you know, get promoted from League One, playing in Preston, have a budget, you know, 4-5 times what ours is. You know, really made them, put them under the pressure and times created really great, you know, great chances. You know, forced their keeper in really good saves. And I know there is pre-season, and I know you need to take a lot of that with a pinch of salt, but there was, you know, there's some real excitement for me there. I really enjoyed it for as pre-season goes. So yeah, I think there is an element of excitement to it. I don't think Mullow fans are know quite what to expect at the minute. I think it's hope and expectation at the moment, which is great. I think, as I say, go back to the last summer, I think it was very much same. We solidified the team, a lot of the guys who had been the backbone of the success. So if you get into 2014-15, it was very much the same. Whereas, you know, if you take this season coming up, if you think of the guys who started last season and the guys who are likely to start this season, it's bare, but barring than a couple of players, for example, Hamel, Lasley, etc. You know, it's a very, very, very difficult, that's a different side. So I think that brings its own intrigue for the supporters as well. So, you know, hopefully if we can start well, then, you know, that good feeling that we've created can keep bubbling on and bubbling on.
Talking about the good feeling, I see today that the Welsh Society have planned another recruitment drive in terms of introduce a friend scheme.
Yep.
The society, pretty quiet over the summer, but I see there's been a new kind of head of recruitment appointed at the back end of last week. How do you see that progressing over the season, and how important is it for the society to really make a mark over the course of the coming year?
Hugely. I think in their defence, you mentioned how the club have been in over the summer. I suppose it's been quite difficult for them to muscle in on new contracts and new players, and you know, we are announcing things almost on a daily or a weekly basis, and it can be quite hard to put your hand up for the attention at that particular point, given how much the club have been announcing, how big the change arounds in the squad and off-field staff have been. So, you know, that maybe explains some of the things over the summer. But, no, I think the addition of a full-time member of staff will be, you know, massively important. I think it's something that has been required. I think if you remember when the society first kicked off and they got the majority of its members, Alison Wallace, who done a great job going through there at the start, really helped drive that on. But I think when Craig Hughes, the guy that they've managed to attract, he's got a real good background. You know, I've had several, you know, very positive chats with him in here. You know, I think he's really driven and determined to take it on. You know, I think the society really needed that, because, you know, guys, you know yourself, volunteer organisations that by their very nature are very, very difficult, because guys have jobs, they have lives, they have families. And it's very often difficult times to put them under pressure, and, you know, a lot of them live far away as well, which can be quite difficult too. So to actually have Craig here, to have somebody here who's really going to drive it forward, who's really going to be responsible for developing it and trying to get new membership and trying to grow it, I think it's a very positive step, and I think it's one I'm looking forward to see how it goes. In terms of how important it is, absolutely, there's no doubt about it. I think the owner, Mr Hudson, has been absolutely clear that if the plan that we've got at the club has to work, or the transition to fan ownership has to work, then there has to be a buy-in from the sports to prove that they want it to happen. If they want it to happen, then it'll happen. If they don't, then who knows? They've been given a task, they've been given an aim and an objective to attract a certain number of members, you know, by you know, a certain time frame. Brian and the guys are really clear about that. They've been quite public about what they're trying to achieve, how many people they're trying to get in. I think that's good. I think there's a target there, there's a will there. And I think if they can get to that, that would certainly demonstrate, I think, that there is a real need and a desire and a want for full fan ownership at the football club. The owner certainly wants that. Mr Hudson certainly wants that. He's been quite unequivocal that he doesn't have any long-term ambitions to own a football club for the long term. So that's the plan of action. The club are trying to do all that they can of the good things with transfers and you know, solidifying their assets that we talked about earlier on. The society now, I think, have put some building blocks in place by getting Craig in a full-time capacity. His remit, absolutely, is to help grow the membership and try and engage the supporters, because I think that's what needs to happen. I keep reciting to the guys and here that one of the key success stories over the last 15, 20 years in jail like this one is the kind of rebirth of the Scottish National Party and the success that it's had. But they do that by being in people's faces, by being very active, being very visual to people, by chatting on doors, by phoning people, by anytime there's a rally, they're there, anytime there's, you know, leaflets demanded, anytime there's telephone conversations, anytime, you know, anything that is to be involved, they'll be involved, they'll get in people, and it makes them credible as a party. What we need to prove, or what the society need to prove, is that they are in people's faces, they are trying to will people round to their way of thinking, they're trying to convince them of the merits of full fan ownership, they're trying to, you know, convince them of the credibility to run the football club, and you can only do that, I think, by being visual, by being in people's faces, by speaking to people, even if you're not trying to give them a hard sell straight away, but even if we're on match days and we're talking to people, and that bit fed message comes in, because what can happen at a football club, guys, is there's so much demand for people's attention. There's transfers, there's first team games, there's under 20s, there's injuries, there's suspensions, there's all the stuff that's going on in the league, there's games, there's all these different things that are happening. I kind of liken it to, there's fireworks going off all the time, you know, in terms of things that are happening. And if you're not vocal, if you're not visual, if you're not loud enough, then it's dead easy to get lost almost in everything that's going on. So I think one of the things that Craig will do, I think, you know, given his background, given the experience he's got, and given the feelings that I get from speaking to him, is I think he wants to make the society much more visual and vocal and determined, and actually convince people that they're a credible player within it. And I think he'll do that, you know, supported by the real good work of the likes of Brian and Robert and Alan and some of the other guys that are involved in the committee there, who are all very well and very determined to see it through to the end. So, you know, I think it's been a positive move, Craig's appointment. I think it's been overdue a little bit, and I hope he hits the ground running, and we can really see some positive wins at early doors.
That brings us on nicely, I suppose, to the opening game of the season at Inverness. I suppose, given the expectation and the excitement about the kick-off of the new season, it's a shame that it's a trip up north for the opening game, but I'm sure we'll take a decent travelling support for what will be a very difficult game.
Oh, absolutely. You're right, I do take your point. I think if you imagine if we'd have been down at Kilmarnock, or if we'd have been at Partick Thistle or Hamilton, I think if we'd have one of those games, you would imagine Mullow probably would have taken about 1,500, maybe even 2,000 supporters to those games, just given there has been a little bit of a buzz going around, you know, the club and the fan base. It's Inverness, you know, and it'll probably restrict it. I think we'll probably see a bigger than normal travelling support up there. I don't think it'll be anything like the numbers that I've just mentioned. In fact, you know, it'll be nothing like the numbers we've mentioned there for obvious reasons. But I think the fans who go up there will support the club fantastically, as they always do. I think for the fans that do go to Inverness, and I include you both in this, I think you always tend to be a day out that you enjoy. And hopefully, you know, as a result, we can go there and get a positive result. But you are right. Inverness, other than maybe Mullow and St Johnstone, Inverness have been the real success stories over the last 4 or 5 years in the Scottish Premiership. And, you know, they've had some competitive football as well. They played the remaining team, Astra, home and away. So they'll be fully up to speed. They've got some talented players. But I think we'll go there with some confidence. I think we've had a good pre-season. I think we've got a feel-good factor about the football club. Yes, Lionel Ainsworth will be a big miss. I think he's one part of the cog of the wheel going forward. But, you know, whereas Lionel's unavailable, it might be Dom Thomas who might go in there. It might be somebody else that takes his place and really, you know, takes the mantle for themselves and really shines. And that's great. I think that's what we're up against. I think, you know, as I mentioned to you guys earlier on, Inverness is difficult. You know, we play Dundee United, Hearts, Aberdeen, all within the first 4 games, it's a difficult start, but you have to play them all. You have to get them all out of the way at one point anyway. So if we can capitalise on the feel-good factor, a result in Inverness, I think would definitely help kick that on into the following week's game against Dundee United. So yeah, it's all there to play for. It's not going to be easy. Inverness is never easy. I think at one point we had a fantastic record up there, actually, and to a certain extent I think we still do, but a little bit more difficult in recent years because of obviously their improvement. But it's normally a day out that everybody can enjoy, and fingers crossed obviously Saturday brings something similar.
I know you'll not be able to go into specifics just now, but is there plans, or do you see more new faces joining the squad before Saturday?
I don't know is the answer to that question. I hope so. I absolutely hope so. But I think one, it's difficult to put real timelines on transfers. I think the club try through me or through the club to try and tease out transfers, but only when you kind of really know when it's almost, you know, it's at the slam dunk point that you're almost ready to sign the papers and announce. But we're not quite at that stage with any players at the moment. So, but you know, things can turn around really quickly. You can be at that stage, and then 24 hours later, could somebody come in the office signing? So, there's nothing particularly imminent at the moment. But that's not to say that it might change. You know, there's Ian's, you know, the two positions that he's really looking for. He's working on numerous targets for both positions. So there's a number of irons in the fire, and it just takes one little catalyst for them to come off. So, absolutely, there's as much possible of what happened as there isn't, if that makes sense. So. Who knows? Hopefully there is, because again, it helps build up the a bit more confidence. It hopes it keeps MMS guessing as well, to a certain extent, about what the team's going to be. So yeah, the aim will be to try and get in. It might happen, it might not.
What's been noticeable as well is the players that we've brought in are all our players. In the past, a lot of loan signings. The English season only starts a week later than the Scottish League this season. Is that something that will be looked into, or is it more towards Les Hutchison's approach to the game that we'll be looking to bring on our own players rather than look to develop other teams' players?
No, there is an element to that, definitely. But that's not to say that you would ever rule yourself out a loan player. The way budgets are in Scottish football, and I suppose football around the world, sometimes loans can be an effective use. I mean, loans can be fantastic. I mean, you think of Djukovic, you think of Ruddy, you think of Nick Blackman, you think of others, you know, Yama to a certain extent. You think of, you know, this football club has benefited massively from loan players from England, and some of the best players that we've seen at Fir Park over the last 7 or 8 years have been on loan. But, you know, there is also a focus on trying to make sure that if we are taking on talent and if we are showcasing talent, that, you know, that Mullow can get some benefit. Benefit comes in two ways. I suppose it comes in the here and now, in winning games and having success in the league table, and loan players can certainly help with that. Or it comes from trading players and your long-term approach, the, you know, trying to ensure that as a business it's self-sustaining. And that comes from a bit of investment. So I think there's a happy medium to be had. We certainly don't want to be in this situation where having to loan 5, 6, and 7 players, which we've had to do, I think, last season, if you think of the amount that came. All of that primarily was to do with injuries, but obviously with the changes again, it was instigated by the owner and the club and the directors, you know, in terms of the extra provisions around strength and conditioning and fitness, topping up some of the really good staff we have here, Adam Stokes and Aileen Anderson. I think hopefully that won't be as big a problem. You're never going to stop injuries, obviously. You're going to get contact injuries no matter how much strength and conditioning coach you're going to do. You're going to have players who have muscle injuries. That's just inevitable. But if you can minimise them, then the need for bringing in so many would be less. So what you do at that point is go for quality rather than quantity. And if a lone player does come in, then I think there will not be many of them, given there's only two spots left up for grabs at the moment. But if there is one coming in, we wouldn't certainly rule ourselves out of loan deals as a strategy, but certainly there is no doubt that we are hoping to try and, as we've mentioned already in this chat, try and develop on guys who we can trade on at value, but before they do, obviously add significantly to the first team at Fir Park.
So with the new season starting on Monday, Saturday, thankfully, given how boring the close season is without football, does the club, does the management have certain targets both in leagues and cups, and what about you personally? Is there, you know, any predictions that you've prepared to make as the season looms?
Well, what I always try and do to keep myself right is paraphrase all, Jay, so that way I kind of just sit back and say, well, they said it in our play. I don't know if you've seen Rez's interview I think he was picking up his doctorate from the University of Western Scotland, and I think he was asked directly by STD about what his hopes and aspirations were for the season, and given he's a man who's the real positive impact here, he wanted the team to be looking towards a top six spot. I think it would be wrong of any club in the league to say that they're not aiming for that. Of course they are, because, you know, there are, other than maybe the top 2 or 3, 4 clubs, our budgets are way in excess than others. There seems to be kind of a split in the league in that sense. that if you think of ourselves, Kilmarnock, Thistle, Hamilton, Inverness, St Johnstone, Ross County, there may be a wee bit here and there, but it's a pretty much of a muchness in terms of spend and in terms of the quality in the squad. So, you know, from that point of view, all those clubs will be aiming to try and get into the last couple of places in the top six that are probably going to be up for grabs in that sense. So, yeah, I think everybody would hope, certainly first and foremost, for a season not quite as dramatic as last year, in terms of the wrong end of the table. I think first and foremost, if we can make sure that we're not there, that would be a good start. And from then on in, you know, we need to look to be aiming for the top six. I don't think there's any doubt about that. From our cup point of view, I have banned all talk of saying it can't be worse than last year, because we've had that for the last couple of years, and it actually, bizarrely enough, seems to get worse. But the hope is, of course you see every year, the hope is you kind of get a good cup run. Nothing beats a good cup run, both in terms of what it does for the supporters and how they're feeling, the excitement that it builds, the actual additional cash benefits that it brings to the club, both in terms of competition prize money, but also how engaged the supporters feel with the club, because there is that excitement there. So yeah, of course, a good cup run, it would be absolutely fantastic. This is a historical year for the football club in that sense, if you think about it. You know, it's the 25th anniversary next May of the 91 Cup final, which is unbelievable to think for guys like me who can remember it, and I'm sure both you guys start to feel old. And also as well, it's the 130th anniversary of the club next May as well. So there are some historical points of reference, I suppose, for this season that we should make something successful in one of the cup competitions really poignant. And look, Bill, just winning a game would be poignant to us. But that's the hope. Trying to get advanced as far as we can in the cup competitions. Bit better in the league, certainly aiming for the top six. In terms of my own personal position, I just hope to try and keep developing what I can. I've got a brilliant structure at the club now in terms of the owner, in terms of the board of directors. We're splitting the various subcommittees of the board, which you are reporting to. I get direction from, and it's really, really been great for me to develop personally. Really enjoyed the challenges of working with the new owners and both the new and previous directors, who've all been fantastically supportive of me. You guys know me, I give them 110% in everything I do when it comes to Motherwell, and I'll do that again for this next season. Hopefully it won't be as stressful as last season, because there were points last season where it was really stressful. But you know, I feel good about it. I feel excited about the season coming up. I don't want to use the term confident, because that's maybe getting a little bit carried away, but certainly I feel optimistic about it all. And if we can have a better season, a more exciting season, then I'll certainly feel personally gratified about it too.
Alan, thanks very much for your time. It's great to see you kind of bedding into your role and making a success of it. Let's hope that the next season we can have more success on the park, and as you say, the cup runs would be nice as well.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. We're Motherwell Football Club, aren't we? That's what everybody's here for. We want to be the best team that we possibly can. You know, there is a big mission from the football club, obviously, as well, to be a 24/7 operation. And you know, we didn't get any talking about some of the great work the community trust does as well. But you know, fundamentally, first and foremost, fans want to see a good, winning, competitive team in the park. They want to see a long-term plan. They want to see a strategy and a structure at the football club that they believe that their club is moving forward. And I think hopefully fans can now see that. You know, we've got a lot of that in place. So, you know, fingers crossed it's a successful season, and fingers crossed that the podcasts this year are positive and talking about good wins rather than bemoaning frustrating defeats.
Thanks very much, mate. As I say, you've been listening to the MFC podcast. Please get behind our Scottish Premiership predictor and help us pay for our SoundCloud costs for the coming season. That would be much appreciated. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye.